Was it last week? In Kenya. And glorious time, really. And we had this one, I'll call it a Holy Spirit meeting. They'd had a break-in at the camp, and actually machete wielders, I guess would be the right terminology, came in and attacked the orphanage that was on site. And the amazing thing about that was, first of all, no one was harmed, which was unusual for Africa. When they come in with machetes, they usually kill them, so there's no witnesses. And there were, I think, 8 or 10 children in that home, and there was no one was harmed. But the woman herself managed to talk them into giving her wedding ring to them rather than cutting off her hand or worse. So it was quite a scary thing. But the other amazing thing was that it was on the one-year anniversary of a previous break-in where the man was murdered. And it kind of left Jess and I, particularly me, I guess, as a pastor and a parent, kind of thinking, oh my goodness, this is serious. And I believe in intercession, and I believe that the Lord will sometimes show you things and show you how to pray and specifically what's going on. And in that particular case, the Lord really spoke to me about a door that had been opened in their camp within their fellowship, and really gave me an opportunity to speak to the leader. Up till that point, I hadn't really had a whole lot to do with them. I just kind of went as Jess's mom, as you know, and just kind of took my opportunities as and when. But it was a real Holy Spirit meeting, and the girl who led the worship was just amazing, and there wasn't a single instrument. She just sang. I don't even think she had a microphone. She just sang, and the presence of God just fell in that room. And it was just a real divine appointment to watch what God would do in the midst of, you know, cleaning up some stuff along the way and just dealing with some stuff. But, you know, to get to pray with them and watch the fear that had sort of descended on the whole group of them. There were two sets of students, two different schools that were running simultaneously, as well as, of course, the children of the adults who were participating in those schools, who were quite frightened, didn't want to go to school, all that sort of thing. It just lifted in just a half-hour meeting, really. And God was really faithful and good. But I was just reminded of that, you know, when we were setting up today for instruments and sound, and, you know, we're missing half the worship team, and lots of folks are out sick or whatever. But, you know, the Lord is looking at my heart, and I would say the same thing to you. Are you just going to worship me wherever you find yourself, in whatever situation you find yourself? Most of you have heard some of my Kenya stories by now, but it was not an easy time for me physically in Kenya. I took every precaution that I could, but nevertheless, I was pretty sick for most of the time. And yet, you know, you just try to keep a happy disposition, and thank God it could be a whole lot worse. And I mean, at one point, I hadn't really eaten for about 5 days, and someone said, I think we should take you to a doctor. And I kind of thought, I really don't want to go to an African doctor here in the middle of nowhere with nobody I know. And that to me just seemed like another risk. And I thought, no, I think I'm just going to pray and leave it as it is. And God was really good, even though we had to make some long trips. One day was 6 hours each way, and that was rough. But God was really faithful and really good. I don't know if any of you have seen an email that's gone around this week about, is his name Kobe? Coney, who's on the number one criminal list, really, for the United Nations as a war criminal, who's abducted 33,000 young boys for soldiers. I don't want to get too political, really, but we met this young man. I think his name was Amos, who he might be maybe 25 now or something, but we met him a day or two before we left. He was the one who, remember, the Lord had given him a dream that there were thieves in the camp and he should lock up all his stuff. And he didn't. He ignored it because he just felt so insignificant as a person. And he got up and repented at this prayer meeting that I was referring to for considering himself so insignificant that the Lord would talk to him, because he now felt responsible for all the stuff that was stolen and all the breaking because he didn't tell anyone. So, of course, we prayed with him about that. But when you looked at his legs, Jess actually spent more time with them and questioned him whether those were machete scars or what was going on with his legs. And he said, no, not at all, but I was kidnapped as a little boy. I think actually he was 14. And he spent, I think, 3 years with the rebel army. And the reason for the scars on his legs was they had to march for miles and miles and miles at a time. And if they veered at all to go around a tree stump or barbed wire or a pothole or anything, they would be shot. So they just had to walk straight, irrespective of what they were walking into. And his legs were just a mess. And so as I was reading that email this week, you know, and just kind of in admiration of that young man in the States who's kind of taking it upon himself to really get the whole nation behind him, including American government now, that is going in and saying, no, this man must be caught and punished for these war crimes. This is not okay for all of us to just say this is all right. Because we met one of these young men who did escape, it was just like, oh my goodness, this is just so real. Because, you know, when you live so far away and you don't know anybody relating to that, it's very hard to kind of connect with it and say, well, Lord, there's always stuff going on. Wars and rumors of wars all over the place. But it starts to hit pretty home because we talked with this man. Jess gave him a pack of playing cards from Montana's and, you know, stuff like that. It was just really brought it home. And if you watch that video on YouTube, if any of you want it, you can speak to me after and I'll try to forward you what I got. But basically, he met a guy who was kidnapped as a boy, and he promised him, I think, 9 years ago that he would do something about it. And so he is. And, you know, I think it just is kind of humbling to say, God, I really want my life to count for something. I really want it to matter for something. I'm a firm believer that every single Christian should go on outreach at some point in their life, if not once, more than once, because it gives you a heavenly perspective on the realities of the kingdom of heaven. Because I find, now you can correct me if you don't feel like this, but I find in the West that there's this constant struggle between living in the heavenly realm, living in eternity, and yet living, I go to Sainsbury's and, you know, I have road rage and I get annoyed at the guy who cuts me off. And, you know, we all live in that. But if you're living in the middle of, you know, walking 10 miles just to get water, dirty water probably, to drink, it's a whole different perspective. You really begin to see things a little more heavenly-minded, a little bit more like God sees them, and a little more precious and all of that. So I'm forever banging on it. People should take some mission trips just to see things as God sees them. But I've asked a few people to share some testimonies tonight, and just let's just get real and share some hearts tonight. Is that okay if we do that? I do have a word from the Lord, I think, on my heart, if we get to that. But I just want to encourage us and just, you know, for what it's worth, we at this church are really making a decision over and over again to be real and just to believe that God is big and powerful and he's looking for people like you and me to make a huge difference. I don't even know if this guy on the YouTube thing, and it really blew me away this week, because I don't even know if he's a Christian. And he's sitting there with his 5-year-old son explaining to him who this war criminal man is, and he's bad, and, you know, we need to stop him from stealing children. And, you know, it's time for us, church, to begin to take up some of these causes. It might be the person beside us at the office. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be someone in Uganda, but it might be the person who lives next door or our family member that, you know, we just live in this struggle of, does it really matter what I do? And the answer is yes, it really does. I believe that we are living in the last days and the Holy Spirit is looking for a few brave people who will just make their life count for what he nudges them to do. I think that's what he's asking me. Can you just be faithful with what I ask you to do, no matter what it is? So there I am in Africa on a YWAM base, and no one knew I was a pastor. Most people didn't know I was Jess's mom. They thought we were sisters most of the time. Poor Jess. Good for me, not so good for her. But the minute they would know that I was the mom, they would defer to me. They're very culturally correct that way and honoring. If any of them found out I was a pastor, they would really defer to me. So I was just there to try to not draw attention to myself. But got in the middle of, you know, this word from the Lord about thievery in their midst. And it's still going on. They still want me to name the people that, you know, I know. And I'm just like, you know, you don't even know me. I'm just this far away. And I talked it over with one of the pastors involved last night. And he said, well, it's obvious that the Lord has given you some favor to open that up and bring some healing and restoration to their staff. So go for it. But you just don't know where you're going to find yourself. I shared this last week, but I'll share it for those of you who are visiting because it blew me away. We stayed in a house that had 3 bedrooms with different speakers for the schools and so on. And on the third day when this one man, Ezekiel, had been there, we were having tea in the morning. And he said you were from Canada, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, you haven't by any chance heard of a church with the Toronto Blessing, have you? And I said, well, yeah, I have, actually. It's my dad's church. And he was in shock. And he said, you're kidding. And I said, no, I'm not kidding. And he said, you know, I have cried for years and years and asked the Lord to somehow provide a way that I, too, can receive what he's doing in Toronto. And lots of my friends have gone, and I, of course, can't afford it. And even last night, I was up most of the night. This is what he said. I was up most of the night crying, saying, Lord, please provide a way for me to get that blessing because I need it. I need to be refreshed. So we spent about half an hour with him that morning, and he just got so touched by the Holy Spirit. But what really amazed me was that the Lord would send me all the way to Kenya to answer one pastor. There were other things. God always has a couple of benefits in everything he does, I think. He's a double dipper that way. But I really had a sense, you sent me all the way to Africa for this man? Like, how faithful is God? And we just think these prayers don't really matter, but sometimes we just need to press in with them. So let's just share a bit tonight. Anybody want to share?
Sure. Yeah, this is actually a good lead-on testimony, because it's about God changing the atmosphere. And so if you're in some dark environments and dark atmospheres like where I work, then hopefully this should encourage you, because I was really amazed at what happened. I've been getting discouraged sometimes because at school it can be quite a dark place. It can be really negative. And sometimes I'm a secondary school teacher, to those of you that don't know, a science teacher. And sometimes I have to actually take myself out of the lunchroom where other teachers are and go and sit on my own somewhere because I'm surrounded by people looking on the educational website for other job postings that have come up today. And I just started at my job in January. I'm like, yeah, this is a great school. We're building a team here. We're all getting behind each other. Oh, you're applying for that job. Oh, you're applying for that job. Oh, you're getting out as fast as you can. Okay. So everybody's jumping ship, and I'm like, Anyway, I share some of my classes with other teachers. One that's particularly difficult class, very hyper, very low achieving, low self-esteem, doing everything they can to get out of work. And that means that you as a teacher take the brunt of quite a bit of abuse. And so it was one of those days. And I came into the lunchroom, and the teacher that I share it with was in there with a couple of the other real negative Nancys. And I came in, she's like, oh, how's it going? I'm like, oh, yeah, teaching the year nines, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, is it our class? Oh, I see. And that was, like, enough said. She's like, oh, dear. I'm like, yeah, trying to teach them about electricity. Oh, my gosh. So, and then as I was just like trying to make it lighthearted and trying to have fun with it, I was looking at her, and she's married, by the way, Leona. I was looking at her, and I just saw like all of this color and all of this brightness coming off of her. And I was like, whoa, you look really nice with your hair up. And as soon as I'd said it, I was like, she wears her hair up quite a bit. That's weird. But I was like, wait, do you wear your hair up a lot? And she's like, yeah, I kind of do. I'm like, I just see, like, all this color, like, all this really nice color, like, really reds and golds. And she was like, oh, wow. And the other girls were like, oh, yeah, it does look nice. Yeah, it's really nice. And it just, and I was just, it just put me in, like, a really silly mood and really lighthearted. And it was just totally spontaneous, genuine compliment. I was just like, it was like I saw the way God saw her. And I was like, oh, wow, you're so beautiful somehow. And it was just like, oh, okay, well, thank you. Oh, okay. And my, not the head of department, but the vice principal who's over my head of department. So he's like the double head over me. He came in, and he's always really positive, and he started to talk to people, and he started saying this and that, and I'm making coffee, and everybody starts laughing, and I come over, and I join in the conversation, bantering a little bit, and then they start laughing, and I'm laughing, I go back making my coffee, and they're talking about, oh, I wish I'd got this job at that school, and he's like, yeah, but you'd miss these inner city schools, and she's like, oh, yeah, I missed that like a hole in the head, and he's like, oh, but this is where the kids really need you. Don't give up. Don't lose faith, because we're science missionaries. And it was just, like, so amazing, because they all really hate him, because he's so positive all the time. Like me, they can't stand me, because they just want to complain, and I don't really want to do that, and I'll just be like, oh, okay, sorry to hear that, and I'll leave if they're going to be like that. But him, he's like their boss, so it doesn't really quite work. So he was actually going to leave, and I engaged him in the conversation and made him part of it. And it was like this dark atmosphere just went right up, way up to the top. Somebody who's like super negative was like, oh, that's an amazing quote, and wrote on a poster, don't lose faith, we're science missionaries, and put it up on the wall. So that's up on the wall in his staff room now. So it's just like God had me see that one little thing, and I was just like, oh, wow, like, wow, look at your hair. Wow, it looks really great today. And then all of this other stuff started bubbling up, and it was like this really light atmosphere. Everybody was happy, and everybody was positive. And I went back to my lesson, and it was really tough, but everybody was really feeling great about it, you know? So it was just amazing for me to see how a little thing like that could really change so much of the atmosphere. It's cool.
Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share? Come on then. You want to stand at the front, or you all right too? We want to see your lovely face.
Pleasure. Missed you all.
Missed you too.
I was in a fish and chip shop a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. You can talk with your hand.
Yeah. I was in a fish and chip shop a few weeks ago. And anyway, there's some Muslims on it, and it's really, they're really nice guys. And anyway, he sat down. He was going to sit down beside me, and he said, oh, what a terrible sciatica. And I went, oh, would you like me to ask Jesus to heal you?
And you put your hand on him.
Straight away. Didn't give him a chance to say yes or no. So anyway, I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. So anyway, I went back the following week, and he says, guess what? He says, I was healed the next morning.
You
know, pain. Isn't that lovely?
Awesome.
Yeah. But then I brought some hankies. I came prepared. So I brought some prayer cloths from church. And he brought his dad in. I gave him a prayer cloth for his dad because he told me he wasn't well. So I gave him one of them. And he brought his dad in. And I got a chance just to hold his hand, just to build up a relationship. So it's all about building relationships,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's what's been happening to Johanna. Just going about the Father's work.
Just about your business.
Yeah.
Amen. Give him awesome. A we do. Lord, we just ask that you would double up those opportunities for her. Father, we just pray that you would water all the relationships that she has been building and bring them to fruition, Lord, where it's time for miracles and signs and wonders and the glory of God revealed. Amen.
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 Anybody else want to share? Yes? No? What's happening at the pub, Noel?
It's been quiet, but
it's been quiet.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Turn it up, Lord.
Yeah, I just felt the Lord sort of say personally it's to go much deeper and strengthen. And I think he's sort of like preparing to release to go forward even more.
Yeah.
But it's a time of going deeper.
Well, some folks put their hands on Noel. Say, Lord, thank you that You're encouraging him so much in the pubs and in all that you're doing, God. I just think the Lord's going to pour so much courage on you that you're going to find yourself doing things that surprise even you. And you can look back and go, huh, I can't believe I did that. But after the fact, so we just bless him, Lord, with heavenly courage. Heavenly courage, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I was quite encouraged tonight because with, you know, my husband having Alzheimer's, it's been quite difficult, especially in relating to his family back in the Yemen. And every time they've been trying to get hold of him, ring him up, he'd answer the phone, but he wouldn't speak to them much. And they had no idea what was really going on with him. And this has been going on for ages. Anyway, tonight, I think it maybe half an hour before I came out, there was a phone call from one of the Arab countries, and it was somebody who could speak English as well. And I was able to explain to him what was going on and why, you know, Muhammad wasn't relating and you know, speaking much to the family back in the Yemen, and mentioned about the memory and the forgetfulness and everything like that. Oh, it was such a relief. Yeah. And then I was able to ask him about, is there any internet over there? Maybe, you know, to be able to Skype his family. So he said he would try and find out. So I was so encouraged and relieved that at long last there was some communication.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. It's awesome. Father, we just bless all the details of all the internet stuff and just all the connections that you need to make, Lord. And we still claim him for Jesus. We're just going to pass around the offering basket because I'll probably be in trouble if I don't. So, Father, thank you that all of our finances belong to you. You're our great provider, and you have always provided. We've never gone one day hungry. And so we give you honor and praise, Lord, and ask that you would meet every need in this room, every need of this fellowship, with lots to give away. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to share a little bit, and probably over the next few weeks, too, we'll talk about, you know, our trip to Africa and some ways to give. But one of the ideas that we have is to actually sponsor a garden, a community garden, and teach people how to grow their own stuff and help them with that. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16, because this is the verse that is kind of on my heart for today. And I just want to say that we go through some ups and downs in life, don't we? We go through some hard times. And for us as a church, most of you know that it was a hard year last year for us for lots of ways. And for some of us, you know, we're still a little bit recuperating from that. It's affecting us in different ways. But the course remains the same. And we need to, you know, sort of know in whom we are grounded and established firmly. Aren't you glad that it's him who found you? That your faith is founded on his ability to keep you, not my ability to be kept. I'm really, really thankful for that. Because, you know, it was a huge revelation to me as an adult, really, as a Christian who'd been a Christian since I was 3 years old, that every sin I'd ever committed was as a Christian. I don't personally have a testimony where, you know, I had this wild life of sin and then I met Jesus. Any wild life of sin that I've had along the way was as a Christian, where I should have known better for things. And it was a real revelation to me as a pastor's kid to know that that same grace with which he found me as a three-year-old or found you at whatever stage in your life is the same grace that holds me. You know, when I was dealing with the Africans and trying to have a bit of an altar call, really, about those who were thieving from the camp, one of the things I kind of had to instruct them in a little bit was, you know, it doesn't mean that you're disqualified for ministry. The person who I know is involved is actually one of the leaders, and I know who it is. And yet, you know, we come through so much fear and so many bad examples at times through our church stories, if you like, about people who are removed from ministry for whatever's going on. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some serious issues that sometimes need some time to work them through, but it is not about shame. It's about freedom. And, you know, it was so real to me on this base where exactly to the day anniversary, there was another break-in that could have been really, really disastrous. It could have been the entire family and all those orphans murdered. And for the Lord to say to me, there is an open door here for thievery, just showed me how severe it was, that at times we need to just deal with our stuff. And if we just repent quickly, it's over. It's when we hang on to it and when we refuse to just, you know, say, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, this person who is actually the one that I know about has actually been confronted directly by the person that they stole from and still would not repent, just got angry. Then got their husband involved and they all got angry. And actually, it just would be simple, wouldn't it? Just to say, you know what, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have taken it. I was wrong. But it makes you ask the question, what's behind that? Why is it so hard to do that? And so I found myself just in this position while just accompanying my daughter so she didn't go to Africa by herself, of actually addressing a really big issue in their YWAM camp. I was just there at the time. And one of the things that amazed me was that they didn't pray for any sick people. They had a real focus on evangelism and did a lot of relationship evangelism and really built relationships, and YWAM has lots of great characteristics. But this particular one never prayed for any sick people. And I was just so amazed by it. This one leader was taking some medicinal herbs to a woman who was ill, and she kept taking it every day. And finally I said to her, Rose, have you prayed for her? And she said, well, yeah, I've prayed for her. And I said, no, have you actually laid hands on her for that illness to be gone? And she said, no. And I said, really? Because it's part of the same Great Commission. It's part of the same package. So next time you give her the herbs, just lay your hand on her stomach and rebuke that pain and whatever it is that's causing it, and just command her to be well in Jesus' name. And she was kind of shocked and said, okay, I'll do that. But it was like they'd never heard that before. And I was just there to accompany Jess. I was just there so she didn't go to Africa by herself. But you see, the Holy Spirit is working in your life and my life to find these opportunities. So I had one of the young guys after the break-in, really, really wonderful guy, came. He was one of the students in the agricultural school, and he came to me and he said, I'm really, really afraid now that they've had this break-in, and I don't think that I should be here anymore. And he's an African. So you think they would have heard these kinds of stories. And I said, well, I'm happy, you know, to pray with you. And he said, I would really like some prayer because I really don't know that I should stay. So anyway, we had a little sozo 15-minute time later in the day. And it turns out that when he was a young boy, his father died. And there was an incident in his village where some cows were stolen. And so he was part of the group that was running after the thieves. And it was a really frightening kind of all-night event for him. And lots of fear entered. And so we just did a little bit of sozo stuff. And he was so freed and so released. And you see, I just only went with what I had in my suitcase. I didn't go prepared to preach. If I must make a confession, I didn't even take my Bible. I had my Bible and my iPhone. But we had so many toys and toothbrushes and stuff to give away. The entire second suitcase was rammed with stuff to give. Jess had her Bible. So I didn't go to be a minister. I just went as me. And yet God found these amazing divine opportunities. And that's what he has for all of us. And I want to keep deciding on a regular basis that my life already belongs to him. It's not my choice anymore. So when I'm in Tesco's and he says, why don't you just pray for that lady? I don't actually have a choice anymore. I already gave up that choice. Didn't you? Didn't you already say, Lord, whatever you want me to do? Have we said something like that to him? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. He hears it. He takes it seriously. We sometimes, out of convenience and out of fear, say, well, not now. I'm in a hurry. No, we've got 100 excuses as to what we think is the appropriate time. But God just wants us, as we go in life, to do what we do. As James was sharing, it's a really big thing for him to be positive. It's really important to him to not be surrounded by negative thinking. And, you know, he's got some really awesome testimonies of kids that he's just... I think there was a kid a couple of weeks ago who was just so bad and so misbehaving, and one of the other teachers brought him in and just continued to berate him publicly and just really, really shame him. And finally, James just said to him, do you know you can change your situation if you make some better choices? And just spoke some positive truth. And I really believe that you can do better than this, and you can have better than this if you make some different choices. And he really turned around, didn't he? He just is a different, influential kid. So I hope you're taking some inventory yourself of what have I already been given? What's already in my hand? What's in my bag when I go to work? What's in my purse? What have I got in my pockets that God has already done for me? Has he done anything good for you, Louise? Every day there could be an opportunity for that. So let's just look at Mark 16. This is just after the crucifixion chapters, and the resurrection chapter is Mark 16. So let's just read it all together. I'm going to read it from the Message. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose, they went to the tomb. They worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us?" Then they looked up, saw that it had been rolled back, it was a huge stone, and walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken aback and astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one they nailed on the cross. He's been raised up. He's here no longer. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. Now on your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there exactly as he said." They got out as fast as they could, beside themselves, their heads swimming, stunned. They said nothing to anyone. After rising from the dead, Jesus appeared early on Sunday morning to Mary Magdalene, whom he had delivered from 7 demons. She went to his former companions, now weeping and carrying on, and told them. When they heard her report that she had seen him alive and well, they didn't believe her. Interesting, isn't it? She's got this amazing thing to tell them, absolutely life-changing event, which, by the way, they knew. They already knew this would happen. He had already told them this. They just don't believe them. Has anybody ever not believed you? Does it make it so? No, of course not. We have choices, don't we? Later he appeared, but in a different form, to 2 of them out walking in the countryside. They went back and told the rest, but they weren't believing either. Still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up. Then he said, "Go into the world, go everywhere, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all." And this is what I really feel like the Lord has said. Just go into all of your world and declare the truth and the good news. So what's your world? For James, it's mostly school. It's mostly the high school where he works, or the staff room where he is, or, you know, his family. He has influence there. If we start to look at, who do I have any influence over? You know, do you have a boss? Do you have anyone that you report to? Do you have anyone you sit beside? Do you have anyone that you meet on the bus? Do you have any family members who call you up? My neighbor... Ethel today saw me walking across with Elijah and was just amazed at how big he is. And, you know, I have a little bit of influence with Ethel. Every time I see her, I want to bless her with something good. First, when I first moved into that house maybe 6 years ago now, She came over within like 2 weeks to say, can you please come and tell me if my partner is having a stroke? And I'm like, I won't know if he's having a stroke. You know, I'm not a medical person. But she needed some comfort, and she just needed some support. So there I was. There must be something that she saw that was okay to ask Lori for some help. I have a little bit of influence with Ethel. You have a little bit of influence with many people. And what are we going to do with it? You know, there I was in Africa, diarrhea for a week. I felt terrible so much of the time. And I could have just, you know, buried my head and said, Lord, I'm not doing anything for you. And yet the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit for you and for me is, he wants the destiny of my life to be completed more than I want the destiny of my life to be completed. Do you want the destiny of your life to be completed? Do you actually want at the end to not look back and say, well, he didn't really do anything? I really don't. I really, really don't want that over my life. Nothing accomplished, but she stayed the course. Thanks. But the Holy Spirit wants that even more than me. You know, it was such a divine appointment, like I told you, to sit down with Ezekiel and pray for him. And I told some of our folks already, we weren't going to have a chance to meet him before he left. He was going off to teach his class and then going straight home. But he was still there when we were finished. He stayed a couple hours extra, and I said, Ezekiel, why are you still here? He said, I'm so excited. I'm so filled with the Holy Spirit. I prayed for all my students today, and we just had a great time in God, and I'm excited about it. What if I hadn't bothered? You know, what if you don't bother? What if you don't bother just to tell somebody the good news when the Holy Spirit prompts you? I think we have a responsibility, and it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But I think we got to open our mouths. Don't you? Can we just stand for a second? I want us just to... Maybe you're getting tired. It's Friday night. It's been a long week. Shake it off a bit. Poke the person beside you. Father, I ask that as this is your word for tonight, that you do what you want to do with this. Father, that you would declare afresh over each of us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell the good news. Tell your testimony. Share something encouraging. Talk about something positive. Go into all the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor, and the disciples went everywhere preaching, the Master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. Lord, I thank you that out there in Africa, as rough as I felt, you worked with me with evidence, with anointing, touching lives, changing situations, removing fear, bringing light, bringing hope to places just where I was obedient and took some steps for you, God. And I thank you that if we, Holy Spirit, just look over some of the opportunities that we have taken, we could all say the same. We could all say you have been faithful to accompany our little risk moments, our little times of sharing something good with signs and wonders, Lord, with power demonstrations, with encouragements, with lives changed, with pain in bodies leaving, with hope coming where there wasn't any. And Holy Spirit, we just want to afresh say to you that we did mean the prayer that we prayed a long time ago that said, whatever you ask us to do, we'll do. That our life no longer is our own, but it belongs to you as a Christian. And I do just pray, Father, that you would just turn it up a whole lot. That you would really take us higher into that place of faith. That we would hear you clearly. And we would know that it's not a choice to be obedient. It's an expectation that you have for us to be obedient. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that we have as a church this year of a double portion. Thank you for an amazing sign of egg yolks after egg yolks after egg yolks after egg yolks after egg yolks that are all double. We got the message, Lord. We got the message here in this church that this is a year for a double portion, and we want to step into that. We want all that you have for us and take every opportunity, Lord, that we would really see this word come true. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to put some worship on, and if you want some ministry, then we're happy to pray for you and just encourage you with that. But I just want to ask, maybe with nobody looking around, I really want to deal with fear tonight. If you're actually kind of overwhelmed by fear at any point through the week, it's not God. You are being tormented and hounded by the counterfeit who thinks he's big and he's not. He's small. The devil himself is just a created being. Him and his demons are outnumbered 2-1 just with angels. Never mind the power of the Creator himself. He's already outnumbered 2-1. But if that's you and you want some prayer for fear, we used to have a banner out there. We need to put it up again. It's not still there, is it? Fear-free zone. I'd like that up again. I don't like fear. It's wrong. Fear is the absence of the love of God. And if that's you and you'd just like some prayer tonight, just some one or two of us to stand alongside you and say, you know what? We're just going to stand with you and say no to fear. Is there anybody here who's really kind of overwhelmed with fear, or that's been your experience in the last week or two? Okay. Couple. Anybody else? Can you put some music on, Claudia? And can we just have our ministry team come up here and we're going to pray for these, because fear is not your inheritance. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, there's no fear, kingdom of heaven. None. So you can sulk for a bit, or you can just stretch your hands toward these ones that have... is it okay if they stretch their hands towards you? Yeah? Patty, why don't you come up here too and stand here? Is there anybody else who's really struggled with fear? It's nothing to be ashamed of. This is a good time to be real and say, I could use some support in this. Father, I thank you that there is no fear in heaven. There is no fear in your kingdom, Lord. None whatsoever. And Father, we just ask for these two especially tonight, that you would go to the very root of the place in their heart where your love and your amazing faithfulness has not been revealed. Lord, that you would just remove any blockage or any boulder or anything that stands in the way of a full revelation of how much you have them covered, of how protective you are for them. Wow. We just declare over you perfect love of God right now. Perfect love of God. Wow. We just declare over you perfect love of God. Father, thank you that it's your promise that as we speak truth, as we lay hands on each other, as we declare the truth and goodness of God, that you do the signs and wonders. Wow. Just increase right now, Holy Spirit.